Thank you, Dave. Good morning, everyone. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As we have already seen up here this morning, this is the time of year for graduations. And in fact, yesterday we had a long day celebrating a graduation of our own, as you saw just a few minutes ago. And it was a good day, thank the Lord. And with graduations, of course, those who have reached such a milestone in their education, they're faced with a lot of choices, as our brother even mentioned and prayed for them. And as we think of those choices, sometimes it's wondering whether they should go on for more education, or should they look for a job in the job market, or what should they do? If they're going to look for a job, where would they want to live? What is going to be enough money to live on? Or what companies do they want to apply for? A lot of life choices are being made as we think about graduation. While life is full of choices, some of those choices could be small choices, relatively insignificant as far as a life choice is concerned. But then there are other choices that are major choices that will have an impact on a person's life. And perhaps a choice of a job could be one of those major choices, those life choices, as it were. Or maybe the choice of a spouse would be a life choice. It's going to have an impact on the rest of your life. As we think about choices, the Bible talks about making choices and that sort of thing. And definitely the most important life choice is a choice that the Bible describes as one that will not only affect your life here, but will affect your eternity. And that choice is presented to us in a passage here in Matthew chapter 7. And I would like to look at that passage this morning. Matthew chapter 7, and let's read verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Because narrow is the gate, and hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so we're presented here with two choices. With a choice between two ways, rather. One choice, but a choice between two ways. And this is the most significant choice that a person will ever make in one's life. Not only because it'll have an impact on this life, but as we mentioned, it will have an impact on where we spend eternity. So that's why it's the most important choice that we could ever make in this life. Now, spiritually, there are only two ways, as is mentioned in these verses that we have just read, two ways that we can choose from. One, of course, is described as that narrow way. The other is, in contrast, a broad way. One, the scripture that we just read, is chosen by few. The other is chosen by the many, the majority. One ends in eternal life, and the other ends in eternal destruction. So it's important that we understand how to choose the right way. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, is choosing the right way as we consider this choice that we are faced with. If we're going to understand how to make the right choice and choosing the right way, we have to understand what the Bible describes as these two different ways. The one, as we mentioned, is the narrow way that ends in eternal life. It doesn't need a lot of description or a lot of defining. We know what eternal life is, to be with God in heaven forever. And I doubt there is a person in here that would ever say, "I just don't want to go to heaven." I would say that we all would have that desire to be on that narrow way and want to end up with God in heaven. But there is another way, and that is the broad way. The way is broad because there are many that choose that way, the scripture says. And doesn't it seem ironic if most people that you would talk to would admit, "Yes, I want to be on that narrow way, which leads to heaven"? Why is the broad way so broad? Why is it that many would choose that way? We're going to be talking about that as we look at this choice here this morning. But as we think of how each way ends and how it's contrasted, the one with the other, what does it mean where he says it's the way that ends in destruction? He says that that broad way leadeth to destruction. The word for destruction means damnation and destruction and perdition. Notice it does not mean annihilation. And that's very important to realize. That broad way which ends in eternal death ends in destruction, and that kind of destruction doesn't mean a person will cease to exist or to be annihilated, but rather they also will continue on forever, but in a place of damnation, as the word means. And the Bible describes that. It is not a place that is a mere state of mind. It is a real place. Just like heaven is a real place, so hell is a real place as well. And both will end up in a real place, depending on the choice that is made on which lane or which path a person chooses. That word for destruction, the Bible uses a lot of other ways to describe the end of that broad road. He describes it as a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He describes it as a place where the worm dieth not, and listen, the fire is not quenched. It is a place that is described as outer darkness. There's no light there. Outer darkness. Complete eternal separation from the presence and the love of God. That is the end of that choice. Several years ago, I had some friends who lived in the state of Pennsylvania, and occasionally we would make a trip en route to Pennsylvania to go visit with those friends. And shortly after Patty and I got married, a few years after we had been married, we were going to make a trip to Michigan to visit with family in Michigan. And on this particular time when we started out on our trip, we had been going all along and having a nice peaceful trip. And we had gotten down the road, and we were, before we realized it, I got to looking around. I was thinking, this doesn't look exactly right. And before I knew it, we realized we were on the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. We're on our way to Pennsylvania. We were going up Interstate 81 rather than Interstate 77. And we had gone an hour and a half out of our way, which to backtrack the other way would be adding 3 hours to what was already a long trip. And we had to realize, we had to come to the realization that we were lost. And you know, that whole time that we were going the wrong way, we were thinking all was well. We had no idea that we were on the wrong way. But if we had continued to follow that way, we would have ended up in a place that we had no intention of going. And you know, that's the way it is a lot of times with people as far as this life choice that we're talking about. That's why it's important that we know how to choose the right way, to go the right way according to what the scripture teaches. People might not even realize that they're lost, that they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. That's why it's so important that we understand what it means. And so let's look at this. As we consider this choosing the right way, a few questions I'd like to answer as we look at it. First of all, how do you know which way that you're on? As I mentioned before, we were going an hour and a half out of our way before we ever even realized it. Didn't even know it. How do you know you're on which way that you are on? And then we're going to look at what choices do you have even on the broad way. That is a choice, but within that choice, there are many other choices that we're going to look at. And then the last question we'd like to answer is, how do you get off the broad way, which leads to eternal death, and get on the narrow way, which leads to eternal life? When I made that choice to go up Interstate 81 and head toward Pennsylvania, there were others that were riding with me in the car. Patty and the kids were with me in the car. And my wrong choice had an impact not only on the direction that I was going, but everyone else who was in the car with me. They were affected as well on the wrong road. We look back to our parents, as it were, our human ultimate parents, and that is Adam and Eve. And we look back, and they were the ones who made the first choice to go the wrong way. We recognize they were put in the Garden of Eden, and they were in a perfect environment, and they were given that one issue from God to say they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, in the day that you eat thereof, what was going to happen? Thou will surely die if they choose that way. And unfortunately, we know that Adam and Eve chose that way. And their choice has then affected all who are in Adam. Just like my choice affected all who were in the car with me, Adam's choice of going the wrong way has affected all who are in Adam, and that's every one of us. We are all born in Adam. We have a sin nature that we are born with, and that sin nature manifests itself how? With sin, naturally. And so our sin, we sin because we are sinners. We are not sinners because we sin, but rather we sin because we are sinners. We are born on the broad way. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever come to the point where you realized that you were actually born on that broad road? By virtue of being in Adam, who made that first wrong choice, that's where we are. In Romans chapter 5, if you would turn there, we have a scripture that makes this very clear. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here in the book of Romans looking at a few passages. But Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When he describes that path that Adam chose, he says death passed upon all men. Now, what path does that describe that we just read about in Matthew chapter 7? It describes the broad way, doesn't it? It describes that broad road that leads to destruction. And he says that by virtue of being in Adam, he was the one who sinned first, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. In fact, if you will turn back just a few pages to chapter 3 here in Romans, we go a little bit further. And in the book of Romans here, chapter 3, at verse number 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is God's description of every one of us who are born in Adam. We're born on that broad road that leads to destruction. So the question is, how do you know which lane you are on? Well, one thing I can know for sure, scripturally speaking, God says that we are all born on that broad road. So, where are you now? That is the question. The question is where are you now? If you have done nothing about being born on the broad road, then you are still there at this very moment. That's where you are, because you are born there. We're all born on that broad road. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it describes all those who are on the broad way, and it says this, that we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. Here in the book of Romans, ahead in verse chapter 6, a couple of chapters ahead, in chapter 6, verse 23, we read another truth about those of us who are born on the broad road. And he talks about that sin. We've inherited that sin nature. And he says the wages, in verse 23 of chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And it's important that we understand the concept of those wages. The wages of sin is death. Now, if I had you raise your hands and ask you if you work for somebody at this particular time, what would you do if on your payday you went to your employer and you expected a paycheck at the end of the 2 weeks or 1 week or month or however often you get paid. You went on your payday and you expected to get your paycheck for the work that you had performed. Now you expect that, isn't that correct? You would want to get that. You have worked hard all during that time. You have earned that money and you deserve that paycheck. Those are your wages. And he says the wages of our sin is what? It's death. That is what we have earned and what we deserve, what we rightly deserve is death for our sin. And so that's how he describes us being born on the broad way. And perhaps there's somebody here that maybe you're thinking, you know, I can't be on that broad way. I'm not that bad of a person. After all, I do the best that I can. I'm not perfect, but maybe I'm better than most or a lot of people. And I would agree that murderers and liars and thieves and people like that, they're definitely on the broad way, but not me. There are some that maybe think that way. The question is this, is how many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to choose the broad way? It just took one, didn't it? Just one. One sin put them on the broad way. And that's where we are as well. The Lord had told Adam and Eve, you will surely die if you choose the wrong way. And that's exactly what happened. Sin came into the world and death by sin. Perhaps there's some who may be thinking, but you know, I really think that as I compare myself with most people, I'm a pretty good person. I try to obey the laws, I'm honest, and I treat people right. After all, I even come to church. I'm here this morning. Are you saying that that's not good enough? Well, you know, my opinion or your opinion is not going to matter when we stand before God, is it? It's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's about what God says in His Word. Because when we leave this life, I'm not going to give an account to you and you're not going to give an account to me, but rather to the God of the universe. That's whose opinion matters. So we have to go by what He says in the Word if we're going to understand how to choose the right way. What does He say about this? In James chapter 2 and verse number 10, He says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That's what God says. That's not my opinion or just the opinion of this local church. It's what God says in His Word. He says, even in one point when we sin, we are guilty before God as sinners, and we're on that broad road. Let's say you are very thirsty and somebody offers you 2 glasses of water. And in 1 glass of water, it is just loaded with a very potent poison that's so potent that even 1 drop of that poison could kill a person. The other glass of water is a nice cold glass of water. It only has 1 drop of that poison. Which one would you drink? Neither one, would you? You wouldn't want either one of those. Even the one that is laden and loaded down with all that poison is going to lead to what? Death. The one that only has 1 drop of that poison, what's going to happen with that? The same thing. It's going to lead to death. So it is with our sin. Just one is enough to make us guilty before God and deserving of eternal death, which is the end of that broad road. Could God accept into His heaven a life that has been a basically overall good life but has even one sin in it? Could God accept that into His heaven? No more than you would want to drink that glass of water with only 1 drop of poison. Because God is holy, and He could not allow that to happen. The Scripture says, "And there shall in no way enter into heaven anything that would defile it. And our sin would defile heaven. And so he would not allow us to be there with sin. The first step that we had to take when we chose that wrong path up Interstate 81 to go to Pennsylvania, the first step that we had to take was to do what? We had to admit that we're on the wrong road. We had to come to the realization we are on the wrong road. And you know, when I first suspected as we're driving along, I thought to myself, this can't be happening. This just can't be happening. We can't be on the wrong road. And as I'm going along, finally we saw the sign. There was a sign that said Interstate 81. And then I knew I was on the wrong road. And we had to admit to that. We couldn't just ignore that sign and say, well, I think this is the right way. But you know, a lot of people will do that spiritually, don't they? They will ignore all the truth of God's word and just say, I think I'm on the right way anyway. But we need, if we're going to choose the right way, then we have to follow what God says in his word. As we think about this broad way, a question comes to mind is what makes this broad road so broad anyway? Why is it so broad? Is it because the scripture says there are so many who choose that way? That he says there are the many who choose to go that way. That's one reason why it's so broad. But I would suggest there's another reason why that lane is so broad. We had choices. When we were en route to Pennsylvania, intending to go to Michigan, we were faced with some choices. Once we first admitted we were on the wrong way, we were faced with some choices. First of all, we could say, well, you know, here I am, we're driving down Interstate 81, and we're going down the right-hand lane. We could say, I think what I'll do is I'm going to change over into the left lane. That would be a choice. And you'd be thinking, well, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? Just to change lanes, what good is that going to do? You're going to end up at the same place. You may have made a change, but you're going to end up in the same place. We could have chosen, well, maybe we'll just pull over into the rest area. We'll stop and we'll think about it. We'll rest and relax for a little while, and we'll put off the choice. We'll decide later. Well, that's a choice too. But did that change our direction in any way? We're still on the broad road. We're still on the wrong way. The broad road is so broad because there are lots of choices on the broad road. And a lot of people will first, when they finally admit, you know, I am on the broad road, they might think, I need to make a change. And so they'll make changes, but sometimes their change is no different than me changing from the right lane to the left lane going up Interstate 81. Let's talk about some of the lanes on this broad road that make it so wide to start with. First of all, there is the lane of good works. That's one of the lanes that people will try on the broad road, the lane of good works. When I was working as an examiner for the Department of Motor Vehicles, I remember taking a young man on a road test. And this young man was very polite and respectful. He did an excellent job on the road test until we pulled into the parking lot. We pulled into the parking lot. As he was getting ready to park, he hit one of the cars while he was parking. He did real good all the way up to that point. In fact, I sit back and I was pretty well relaxed by that point. And I was thinking, this boy knows what he's doing. Of course, when we got to the end and he turned the ignition off, and he asked that question, did I pass? Well, what do you think? A lot of people will think that, you know, I've done pretty good all my life. Maybe I've only made a few mistakes. And that's the lane of good works. A lot of people think, well, if I'm on the lane of good works, certainly God will maybe overlook any sin that I may have committed and look at all the good works that I've done, and that will justify me going into heaven. Romans chapter 3, here we are, if you would turn in Romans 3 back to verse number 20. Romans 3 and verse number 20. What does God say about those who would choose the lane of good works? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Is that black and white or what? He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You might be justified in the eyes of man. You might appear good in the eyes of man. But in the eyes of a God who's perfect and holy, you cannot be justified by good works. It's just not possible. That's the lane of good works. And a lot of people, maybe they're on that broad way and they admit to it. They think, well, I'm just going to do better. I'm going to do better. And I'm going to try to get involved in doing some good works. The scripture is very clear. It says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he can save us. In fact, we're not going to turn to Revelation 20, but in Revelation 20, it describes the end of that lane, the lane of good works. It describes those who have rejected Christ, and here they are, and they're going to be judged. And the Bible says they're judged according to their works. And if you want to be judged according to your works, in Revelation 20, it says that you will be cast into the lake of fire if you want to be judged according to your works. That's the end of the lane of good works. Well, some people will say, well, okay, I accept I can't take that lane. Well, let me change lanes. Let me try something else. And so they might change lanes into the lane of a good religion. And a lot of people will think that the lane of a good religion is they'll mistake that to be the narrow way. Isn't the narrow way the way of religion? They'll think. And some people might try following Muhammad or Buddha or the Pope or something like that. And the scripture is very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Even Paul, before he got saved, this is what what we read about him in Galatians 1:14. He tried the Jews' religion. He says he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But it wasn't until he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus that he realized, I'm on the broad road. Religion has nothing to do with it. Being a religious person is on the broad road, because a person can be religious and still not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Religion is not the narrow way that leads to eternal life. You know, on this particular lane, there are those who may be deceived into thinking that religious deeds along with that will be sufficient to get us to heaven, such as church attendance or being baptized or giving money or things like that, and hoping that those things will put me on the narrow way. But Isaiah 64 says this, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before him. Will the lane of a good religion end up to be like the narrow way? Not at all. Now, the devil will have you try to deceive you into believing that. And he'll think, well, yeah, you may be on the broad way, but just make a slight change. Just change lanes. But all the lanes of the broad road still end in destruction. So they might think, well, let me try another lane. There's the lane of being a good person. There was a lady one time who came in to renew her driver license when I was had those responsibilities. She didn't pass the vision test. And up until that point, she had been very polite and very nice. And she leaned forward when she realized she wasn't passing. She said, but I have been so nice to you. Can't you just squeeze me by? And you know, it's either you either pass or you don't. There's a standard. There is nobody who will ever go into heaven that will be squeezed by. It's not going to happen. God has a standard. And the lane of being a good person is taking that lane which says, well, I hope that I will be good enough that God will allow me to go to heaven. Maybe I'll just squeeze by. What is the standard for that? The scripture says in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you want to get to heaven by being a good person, there's the standard right there. And there is not one of us that meet that qualification, not one, if we honor what God says in his word. The Bible says we've all sinned, and that word means that we've missed the mark. We missed the standard. We fall short of the glory of God. If you choose this lane of being a good person, you will have missed the mark. You have fallen short of the glory of God and find it. And in the end, it leads to destruction. It is the lane that is on the broad road. There's another lane that people could sometimes choose, and that is the lane of good beliefs. They might choose that lane, the lane of good beliefs. And they might say, well, if you were to ask them, why do you think God should allow you into heaven? And their answer might be this. They might say, well, you know, I believe in God. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I believe in God. And is that a good thing to believe in God? Certainly is. It is a good thing to believe in God. Belief in God is good. But will belief in God, in the existence of God, will that be the narrow way which leads to eternal life? Not at all. Listen to James 2:19. He says it very clearly, and this is God's word. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou dost well. The demons also believe and tremble. That's what the scripture says. You might think, well, I believe in God. That's better than a lot of people. Believing in God is a good thing, but the level that will raise you to is the level of the demons. Because the demons believe. They believe in God. And because they believe in God, they tremble because they're going to face His judgment and wrath one day, and they know it. Believing in God will not just believing in God will not take you to heaven. Then there's the lane of a good God. What do we mean by that? Some people will think, well, you know, I believe God is good. And because God is good and because God loves us, He would never send a person down that broad road that leads to destruction. He would never send a person to hell. He's good. I've heard people suggest that before. God is good, and aren't we thankful that He is? God is loving, and we're certainly grateful for the love of God that loves us in spite of our sin. But because God is good, does that mean He will not uphold His own holy standards? Never in a million years. God is good. God is also holy. And even His love is a holy love. And He will never bypass His own standards. In fact, He describes God as the one who will by no means clear the guilty. And we are guilty before Him. And we stand guilty as sinners before Him. Then there's the lane of good company. There are those who would suggest that, well, you know, maybe my parents are Christians, my grandparents are Christians, or my friends are Christians, and after all, I'm associating with people who are Christians. I'm surrounding myself with good company, and since I'm doing the same things that they're doing, and I'm going to places that they're going, I have all this good company, that certainly I'm on the same narrow way that they're on. That's another lane on the broad road, isn't it? We could look at an example in Scripture of a man by the name of Judas. Judas was surrounded with good company. In fact, he was in not only the presence of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Himself. And he witnessed firsthand miracles that the Lord Jesus did. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus teaching the Scripture. He witnessed a lot. He was even sent out as a witness for the Lord Jesus at one time. Judas. And yet Judas was on the broad road the entire time. He was surrounded with good company. And yet the scripture says about Judas, the Lord says in John 17:12, He said, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Speaking of Judas, he's lost. Where is Judas today? He never got off the broad road. With all the good company that he was surrounded with, he never got off the broad road. And you could be in here today surrounded with lots of good company, but what road are you on? Have you ever come to that point of realizing that you're on the broad road and you personally need to make a decision? Then there's the lane of a good life. Wish we had time to turn to Luke 16. But in Luke chapter 16, we're presented there with a rich man who has a good life. He has a very good life, this rich man. It says he fared sumptuously every day. But then he died. And when he died, that good life was over. Just thinking that because I have a good life, and maybe I think because I have a good life that the blessing of God must be on my life because of how good things are going, does that mean that I'm on the narrow way? Not at all. He woke up with his eyes opened up in hell. And the Bible says, being in torments, he was in torments. And he called out wishing that there could be one drop of water that would just cool his tongue. The lane of a good life. Then also, the scripture says in relationship to that, what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That is the lane that is on the broad road. Maybe you're here today and you're willing to admit all these things are true. And you think to yourself, well, maybe I want to do something about that, but this just isn't the right time. You know, there's a lane for that as well on the broad road. And it's called this, the lane of a good day. There's a lane of a good day where people will say, sure, I know I'm lost. I'm on the broad road. I've tried religion. I've tried good works. I've tried surrounding myself with good company. I've tried hoping that my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds. I've tried all these good things. But I'm just not ready right now. Perhaps there will be a good day when I will make that decision. That is a lane that is on the broad road. Because, you know, the scripture talks about a man in Luke chapter 12, we won't have to turn there, but it says this about this rich farmer. This is what this rich farmer said to himself. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He was thinking there will be a good day, perhaps that I can make that decision, but right now I can sit back and take my ease and eat, drink, and be merry. The lane of a good day. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you are on the lane of a good day right here this morning. Get off that lane. Turn to the narrow way. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. A summary of all of these lanes, that's what makes the broad way so wide. You got all these choices to choose from. You can make a little change here and there, but it's all going to end up the same way because the Bible says this. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right about my good works. It may seem right that religion is the way to go. It may seem right that I can be surrounded with good company. It may seem right that I'm not that bad of a person. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The devil is the one who enticed Adam and Eve in the very beginning to go on the broad way. Do you think he's going to want to let a person off? Not at all. So he creates all these ways that are very deceptive. And he doesn't want you to get off the broad way. Maybe he doesn't care how many times we change lanes. He doesn't care which lane that you're on, just so you don't get off the broad way. But today we're learning about how to choose the right way, to choose Jesus Christ rather than the broad way. What has to be dealt with if we're going to get off the broad way? What put us on the broad way? Sin. Sin has to be dealt with. We cannot brush it under the carpet. We cannot cover it with good works. We cannot cover it with religion. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the only way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the narrow way. He said, I am the way. He's the only way. It's narrow. It's the only way. That means you have to turn away from all those other ways and say, this is my only hope, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. And the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When you and I were born, we were born in Adam. And by being in Adam, we're born on the broad way. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you turn to him by faith, and recognized that he, the perfect Son of God, became flesh so that he could die for your sins and for mine, and you by faith receive him as your Savior, then you are no longer in Adam, you are in Christ. And you know what the scripture says about being in Christ? He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. What does that mean? You're off the broad way. You're off the broad way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's the only way. The question is this. First of all, A. It's ABC. A is, have you admitted that you're on the wrong way? If we had denied that we were on the wrong way, when we meant to go to Michigan instead of Pennsylvania, where would we have ended up? We'd have ended up in Pennsylvania rather than Michigan. You have to admit it. The A is to admit that. And to admit that all those lanes of the broad way will end in destruction and your eternal death. The B is to believe. The scripture is very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God could have left us, every one of us, on the broad way. That's what we deserve for our sins. But God, in his grace, made a way, a narrow way, a way of escape. And then C, A is to admit, B is to believe on him, C is to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Today, you can make the right choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our prayer this morning, is that you will make that choice if you never have. As we close in prayer, I'm going to come down, stand right down front. If there's anyone here and you recognize that you're on that broad way, and you want to get off, please, please do not put it off. Don't walk out that door on the broad way. Give us the opportunity. I would love to have the opportunity to sit down with the scripture and share with you how you can turn away from the broad way that leads to eternal destruction and find the joy and the peace of having your sins forgiven and knowing that you're on the narrow way. Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that as we bow in your presence, that we who know the Lord Jesus can now call you our Father. We thank you that you sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope. Father, we recognize he was the only one who was fit, the only sinless one who could die for our sins. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that he bore all of my sins at Calvary, every one of them. And Father, the sins of the whole world. And I pray, Father, that if there's one here that has finally been willing to admit that they're on the broad way, may this be the day of salvation for them. We pray that no single person will get up and walk out of this room without knowing for sure that they're ready to stand before you. We pray this in the name and for the sake of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.